This is the Knowledge Bandits podcast, and I'm excited to bring you today's guest, Mr. Yusuf Abubakar Toumi. Yusuf is a computer engineer, designer, stylist, personal shopper, and a serial entrepreneur. Yusuf, just in getting to know you in the beginning, I realized that I can't just pinpoint one business and say that describes you. So can you let the bandits get to know you a little bit better and all the things that you've worked on?
All right. Hi, guys. The name is Yusuf Toumi Abubakar. We started off while I was back in the UK. I was basically a computer student, and then I had this entrepreneurship and creativity project I was working on. So we had an assignment to do to come up with a business, but I already had a business I was, you know, I was on. So I came up with a clothing line, which I and my late friend worked on, which is called the Purple. So you know, as every other student, we had to report to our tutor. So my first collection of shoes was not as good as it is now. It was I termed it as a failure, but you know, it went well, but it wasn't as good, so I couldn't release those. And then I was opportune because I was doing events in school, so we brought Mario down, and then Mario was in Newcastle. Then we had a party that we had, an after party where I linked up with Leon Bess, and Leon Bess wore my first suit, and it was like, yo, the brand was not too old, and people was like, yo, you know, Premier League player was wearing your design, and you know, he welcomed me to his house. I went to his house, I saw, you know, that was my first time actually stepping in the Premiership football's house. I met the wife, I met the family, I met this huge ass, pardon my French, shoe room, which was really dope. I mean, he had a room full of shoes, and I was like, whoa. And then he was like, yo, he's gonna pay me to, you know, I was like, whoa, man, it's an honor, man, I'm a fan. So I was like, yo, he loves to see like young black guys doing stuff, you know, he's gonna encourage. So Leon Bess was my first shot, then came along the line, you know, I did some more cool stuff. We, you know, rebrand, did some online presence. And then I had TOT came along. He made me his official wardrobe designer. I designed for some Newcastle players. They have my stuff. Along the line, it was going, you know, with time I did. And then the other company, which is called Staggers Fashion Show, was literally a platform where brands come and showcase their design every winter period. So it was like, you know, consistently, that was what the idea of the Stag House is like a parent company to Apparel Polo. So I did the first fashion show. We did a couple of hundreds, maybe 200 people turned out for a runway, which was quite, you know, for a start. And then the second edition was, it was literally sold out. We sold out like 1,000 capacity. We had MTV, Jody Shaw, people who was around. We had Newcastle Chronicles, it was on the newspaper. I was like, whoa.
Wow.
You know, and then we had loads of you know, folks, footballers were even in the hall. I didn't know because I was backstage all through. And it was amazing, man, looking at where you started as a student, growing bigger than you thought. And then, you know, consistently I was on the newspaper in Newcastle, TOT, you know, about me designing for the Premiership. Guy, he had a line under my line. And then I went after school. I left for London. I did some stuff for the BAFTAs. Jimmy Akinbola, we met with these guys. Did some stuff for the movie. It was a series actually. It was on Rupert Wilson, who was an actor on the Flex and Shiny series. On Oprah Winfrey Network, which just blew everything because, you know, it got premiered. I was supposed to go down, and I didn't. But, you know, online it was crazy because they had, you know, I had a cover page of newspaper back home.
And why didn't you go?
I couldn't, man, because I was still in school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had my finals then, so wow. I was like, you know, I just let it just go, man. Then I met up with Wiz Khalifa, London collection, man. Was supposed to go on a collaboration together. It was a secret collaboration, but we couldn't reach an agreement because it was on a contract. And then hopefully, I'm still going to work with him, hopefully. I don't know yet. Went on. Then Bobby Valentino came along. You know, he's a creative designer. He has a brand on my brand. And we're friends and, I'd say, business partners as well. We're just trying to see how we could connect America from America and back home in Africa. So my decision coming back to Nigeria was to, you know, create something different, to create work with like-minded people who have the same hunger of success that I have, and then bring all the network that I've made outside. Because, I mean, I met Jeremy Kyle, you know, we spoke, I met Mourinho. I met, it's just, it's
I have
just
some
crazy
questions
out.
Surrounding Mourinho because I'm a Chelsea guy, but I'll keep them till later.
Yeah, it was in the Vogue House, actually, in London that we met. And it was a fashion thing. And, you know, I happen to know someone he knows, which is Ricardo Guadalupe, the guy that owns Hublot. I met him once, wow. So that conversation just went well. And then on top of those things, I'm a watch distributor and a watch fanatic, I'd say. I love watches. And I do the London Watch Show every year. I represent a brand called Ritmomundo Panzera. I'm getting a license from another brand, which I don't want to talk now. Or I don't want to say now, actually. I don't want to talk about it because it's not finalized
yet.
So literally what we're trying to do is like bring stuff back home and, you know, create more content. And my decision to coming back to Nigeria was based on the fact that, you know, there's so much you can do where you're not from, but all you can get is like the praises and the media. But once you come back to where there's nothing has been done before, it's like when you set that trend, it's there for other people to benchmark and to do something even better. And then, you know, you have the leverage to be one of the first pioneers to actually to have started that. Because whatever I'm going to do in the UK or do whatever has been done in the past 20 years, the only wow factor is like, yo, that's a black guy, that's a Yusuf, you know, that's Yusuf again, or yeah, that's Yusuf again. And that's the same thing that comes out, oh, it's Yusuf again, you know. So you don't want to be hearing it's Yusuf again, okay. You want to hear, you know, this guy moved away from this place and he's doing something better there. You know what I mean? So the concept is to say, okay, you know, why don't we have something more symbolic from the motherland? I mean, we love art, we love culture. So that's the prime objective. When I go back to Nigeria, I thought, what am I going to do? And I've been involved with fashion weeks. I mean, I went to most of the renowned fashion weeks from London down to Newcastle. And I was like, why not? And so I came up with the Abuja Fashion Week, which was dope, which was, it was hectic. It was really, really hectic, you know, trying to do something on the 3 months.
Yeah.
And then I also sponsored the MTV Mama Award 2015 for, so we had watches where we gave to celebrity winners, every celebrity winner, for MTV Mama Awards. And, you know, which was a lot of budget for that. And it was almost, watches worth almost $200,000.
Wow.
And yeah. So those are like the achievements so far I've made in Nigeria, the Mamas, the MTV Mama Award, watches, the Abuja Fashion Week. And I've been working on a pet project because I'm serving now. I came for NYC, so I'm serving. I'm trying to see what I could do it in Kaduna State and, you know, hopefully plug in like my resources and friends and network and see how we can make something different, but something that's prolific, that stays for a long time. And, you know, when people think about it, that's what people would look forward to every year and want to be a part of. And then the prime objective for us, like to use my other company, Stag also, is to promote art, to promote talents, to promote lifestyle, fashion, creativity. You know, that's the prime objective of Stagger. For my brand, Apropolo, like, I would always say it's anything but ordinary, but like, we're trying to give an unorthodox style, an unorthodox lifestyle that's not like your usual type of line, you know, in terms of fashion.
Yeah.
So what I've tried to do is I've tried to distinguish myself from other designers. We do sneakers. I don't see any brands in Nigeria that does sneakers as we do. We do gold-plated iPhones. We do watch winders. So it's we'd be invested to say, okay, you know what, we can do different stuff. But the question is there a market? You know, there's a market for this things. You know, people need all those things. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
pretty much is like the concept of the idea I'm trying to do in Nigeria is to study the market and know where the market lies. Okay, what do Nigerians actually buy? What do Africans buy? Why do they buy them? Is it the name?
Mm.
Is it the affiliation? You know, because that's the most important thing. Because a Nigerian would rather say, "Oh, he's going to go to Harrods to buy stuff. Why is he going to buy it with you?" You have to give him that 100% certainty that, yo, if you're buying it with me here, you can also confirm what you're buying in Harrods. So it was like, yeah, we as traders, you can get. So pretty much is we're just trying to bring, you know, and also, you know, I'm a little bit into farming. Yeah, so what I try to do is like I dab into different things and see what works, learn my mistakes, go out of it. Or if I can't do it, I see someone that can do it. If I have a little money, chuck it in, get a percentage out of it. You know, it just keeps me on the float too, you know, because at the end of the day, we all know the fashion business entails a lot of money and entails a lot of branding, packaging, advertisement, everything. There's a lot of costs going into that. So you just have to, okay, understand that, you know, at a point, the fashion market drops as well. So it's like the oil market. Doesn't sell 100%. It's times you make a design. You make, for people not making huge couture, if you're making ready to wear, the times your stock wouldn't sell for a whole year. You know, you might just sell a few pieces and, you know, you'd have to go drastically on sale, losing, but still, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
And I mean, I have so many questions. But first, I think I'll just start. How long since you started this as a school project until today, how much time has that been?
Well, man, we counting our 7th year pretty soon.
Wow.
Yeah, we counting our 7th. Man, I was shocked, man, when I saw how we started. I was like, whoa. Because I lost my friend last year, and I was like,
wow.
Whoa, it's almost 7 years now. Like, it was a joke because I started with a funny t-shirt where we had to write stuff on the design. So it was for me it was like, you know, it was like let's do something. And then I was like, no, it's too mediocre because everyone does t-shirts. Let's do shoes. Let's do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we started doing shoes and people love the shoes. And then what sold mostly for me was my suits and jackets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was my shoes and jacket. And then because it was really good because I was wearing it and then people could see what I was trying to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So people could see like, okay, this is what this guy is trying to sell. So, and then my affiliation, like I had a very strong bond with like Newcastle footballers. GOT like hosts me at his place. I sleep in his house, like when I'm in Newcastle. Yeah. It was that good. It was like that. It wasn't just, you know, buy and sell. It wasn't just pictures. You know, these guys actually literally support me. They spent real money on me. Like they're the ones that I know, you know, when I take stuff to them, I'm selling my production money already to them. So it's like I don't even need to worry anymore because I know like I've sold this thing. It wasn't like, you know, it's not like the celebrities where you it's like you're trying to ask them for favor. No,
yeah.
they don't need your favor. They just like, oh bro, you're doing dope stuff. But they'll tell you, oh, I've not seen this much quality. Like I buy shit stuff from this brand, that brand, which I'm not gonna list.
Mm-hmm.
But man, this stuff is real. Cause I do like I concentrate when I'm doing their stuff and they appreciate the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And then even the tip they gave me is like, okay man, this is like, you know, too good for me. So and I think that's one thing that's kept me from that's what has kept me on the float. And you know, these guys, you know, and the good thing was I was very versatile. I just didn't rely on designing.
Mm-hmm.
I got to a point where one of the watchmakers was like, Yusuf, do you want to design a watch? I was like, sure, man, I'm not ready yet, but I'll do some time. And I've met amazing. The beauty about it is where it took me beyond where I never thought in my entire life I'll meet Marino. I never thought in my entire life I'll meet Jeremy Kyle. I never thought in my entire life I'll meet, you know, people like Ashley Cole. I never thought that, you know, the people that like the room, like when I meet people in London, the kind of places I've been, you know, it was like, yo, like even my parents, I don't think they would have access to those places. You know what I mean? So and it's just like whatever you're doing is how good you do it and how dedicated it's. I think the problem we face is the get money quick mentality.
Yeah.
A lot of times, and then you forget why you've gone into it. The money will come, but like you just have to perfect whatever you're doing. So for me, man, for me, it's you know, it's put me on a lot of maps, and I just appreciate the network I've had, and I try to hold on tight to those networks too.
Yeah.
You know.
I like what you're saying. It sounds like relationships, more so than many other industries, even relationships in the fashion industry seem to be something that you definitely appreciate and really couldn't have moved to the stage that you are without.
Yeah, definitely. Relationship, matters a lot.
Yeah. And I'm just curious, when you think of computer science, computer engineering, it's not necessarily, it doesn't have the reputation of being the most fashionable industry, but how did you sort of merge that? How did you get into fashion?
All right, you know, everything in life entails design. So if you imagine Steve Jobs had the sleekest idea because of his design, his user interface, that's why a lot of folks are loyal to the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything entails, like, even when people say, oh, you know, I'm in the best university, what makes it the best is it how these universities are packaged, how they designed the model to look like.
Mm.
That's when they say it's the best. And then when you look at to say, okay, computing is a structure of design. Like, it's actually a structure of design that says, you know, you should be smart enough to dabble into different things. So you'd see a lot of computer guys that not even, they could design you a flyer, they could design you, they can illustrate, they could sketch, they could use, you know, all those applications. So I tried to, like, you know what, you know, I'm in the design world, but using the IT to do the design makes it even much more easy and dope for me.
And how often would you say on how often do you use your tech background?
I still dabble. Like, I had a collection that has the technology design. So it's a sneaker that has that turns up lights, so you can literally charge the sneaker. So what I do is every model that I do, there's the sketch part, which is the artistic part. There's the illustrated part, which goes on the computer, which brings out the mold. So we still use the computer, even from the website, because I'm into, like, I did computing, so I still go to look at my title tags, you know, my search engine optimization and all that. Just, you know, so there's still the IT part. It hasn't gone anywhere. I have something I'm doing on IT that has to do with sound engineering and stuff for music. But still, like, because what I'm trying to do is to connect, like, everything that I'm doing, that's one thing is symbiotic to another, and then it correlates. Like, we could use one thing to promote the other, to, you know, dab the, you know, just to flick in and out. Music connects with fashion connects with music. Without the artist dressing well, he wouldn't sell the music in a video. Without the artist representing the brand, people wouldn't know about the brand, stuff like that. So
And I'm just curious, it seems like you're operating on a relatively large scale. So how many people do you have on your team?
In the UK right now, I have three. Eddie works on the computer. He works, you know, digitally on the system. Then we have K, then we have M. So back in Nigeria, I'm still trying to set up my team here. But I have, I have, like, at least 10 people under me here in Nigeria that are just into, like, you know, sewing and stuff. Yeah, so pretty much.
Wow. And so you don't necessarily have any formal background in fashion, do you?
Formal background, formally, educationally, no. But I grew up watching my mom as a seamstress. She was so. I guess I picked a little bit from her because she was actually a seamstress, and then but she was doing it just for the kids when we rip our pants back in school, you know. So she just supported, you know, to sew little things. And I was very interested. I love the way she used patterns. Like, she literally played with patterns, cut patterns down, and then sew, you know, the paper bags. And I'm like, whoa. So I didn't know I was going to go into fashion, to be honest. I also told my dad, computer engineer. But, you know,
And I think it's interesting how you've been able to use your computer engineering background in the design background. I think that's sort of a unique mesh of ideas that I haven't quite seen very often. I mean, I know that design is in everything we do, but particularly with computer engineering and fashion, I think that's really interesting.
And then it's funny because you still have the so I try to like I try to it's funny because I try to look at when we're creating softwares, we do the system SDLC, system development lifecycle. So, and then I say, in a brand you need a system development lifecycle where you actually look at the kind of brand you want to bring out, how long you want to have this brand for, and which has to do with the image, the branding, developing the brand, and the circle of the brand as well, like what kind of networks, what's your price point, stuff like that. So yeah.
And for those people who are listening who are solely on the fashion side, what sort of skills would you encourage them to get? They're already creative people, but what other skills do they need to sort of attain the level of success that you've attained and sustained?
I don't know about this level of success, but I mean, I think, first there has to be passion, there has to be endurance, you just have to be patient of what you want to do. Everything takes time, you just have to be patient and knock yourself out always consistently. I mean, fashion entails a lot of funds, money, 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 money. I wouldn't lie, but that shouldn't discourage you. Start with less and grow with more, I guess. There's no competition. Don't think anyone is your competition except you're amongst the Fortune 500, which I don't think anybody is amongst the Fortune 500 right now. The market is big for everyone, so you can actually eat rice. Everyone can eat the rice, so the market is basically spacious for everyone. Just be very creative. If you're not creative, you have ideas. Have someone creative that can illustrate your ideas, paint the picture out, and don't be ashamed to fail. I mean, you only win once. So once you win once, you're cool. But don't be ashamed to fail.
I like that.
That's yeah. So failure. I mean, there's failure is not. It's not to say you failed. It's just to say you're gonna grow. Like the areas you need to develop. And there's one thing they know. I'm in asking. If you can't reach out to like the people that are your topmost, should I say your topmost, the people you admire a lot in that industry, just watch them closely because they might be too busy to actually acknowledge your emails or whatever. But just watch them closely, and one day you'll be sitting right next to them, I guess. But my advice is like, man, just do it like Nike. Just do it.
Nice, nice. And I mean, I have to ask, since you're into fashion and you mentioned Just Do It, the Nike brand, what is your favorite brand in the world?
Whoa, Hermes. Hermes.
Okay. And
Hermes,
why?
Galvani, Valentino, Emilgaldo, Zegna, Bottega Veneta. But Hermes is my top brand. Hermes is like, yo, Hermes is just, I mean, Hermes is, Hermes is life to me. They just, you need to start an Hermes brand and see how they do this stuff. It's just like, they're not bothered. They sell. So it's like, and they've done, I don't know, man. Hermes is just, it's just safe for me. But like, but the other brands are like Galvani Valentino is like, I respect the man. Late, may so rest in peace. And also, what's his name? Karl Lagerfeld is like my, is a genius. Yeah, he's a genius as well. So yeah, I look, I mean, I studied a lot of them. Like, I actually read about these guys, especially Karl. The way he dabbled, because what I've done for myself, I also created design for other brands, but I don't mention their names. Just looking at what Karl has done for himself, doing Coco Chanel, doing his own brand, he's influenced in the fashion industry. I mean, that's what everyone wants to be. And then I got experience from Harrod. I'm sorry, from what's it called? From Vivienne Westwood. I did a few stuff with them for a month, and then I worked at I also worked at William Hunt in Saverio, which is like, I think, which was the best time and experience that I had. Working with London's most finest suit makers. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything less. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, just those brands are really dope. Those brands are really dope.
And I think One thing that I want to point out to the listeners is a lot of the names you mentioned, I have no idea what they are, who they are, but I think it's fascinating that once you're in your industry, you have to understand the people who came before you to pave the way, those people who were makers and shakers.
Word.
It's whatever industry you're in, whether it's fashion, whether it's technology, whether it's whatever the case is, you need
Like
to know it inside
Steve
and
Jobs,
out.
man. He's a dragon.
Exactly. Exactly. And now we're going to switch gears a little bit to get to know you. I think we've been
Okay.
getting to know you. You've talked more about your businesses, but I want to know what fires you up in the morning. What's your morning routine, and why is that routine so important to you?
My morning, what fires me up in the morning is I love coming up with new stuff and then benchmarking what I've done initially. Like I say to myself, man, the next thing I want to do is actually to sit down with 50 Cent and actually do something crazy. And that has been like my prime objective. What fires me up? Okay, before that, it has always been like I wouldn't fail. Before the death of my friend, I wouldn't fail. But right now, like ever since Nabil died, it's been like because I read the comments of what people said about him, and now like how I read a lot of good stuff. I cried the whole night till the morning, and then I was like, I want to do so good. Like, that when death separates me from the world, out in my grave, the words of people would actually make me smile. So that has been like, for me, I mean, because I've lost like some very important people in my life from high school. From primary school, my younger sisters, down to high school, one of my mentor, guardian, down to my best friend last year. So it's like since then, it's always been like, man, I have little time, and I'll probably die someday. Like, so I need to like do a lot. I need to do so much.
Just from talking to you, it seems like you've experienced a lot of pain, especially with the passing of your best friend and I would say co-founder. How do you continue to push on past all of these hard times?
I mean, for a few within that time frame, I wasn't doing suits because he was basically coordinating the suits. But the thing was, it was a family to me, and I just feel if I don't do it, it's gonna be a pain for him as well because that was not the way we wanted things to go. Because it was an idea. I just spoke to him. I was like, yo, let's do it. Because he the kind of people that are not even in it. It's not their lifestyle, but they work for you, and it was just like having fun. And then, we achieved a lot together, man. The glories. We all decided we're going to come back home to Nigeria, set up, have a big store, and then before I came, he went on. So yeah,
Wow.
but yeah.
I think one of the things you always see is the resilience of entrepreneurs is even in the
Yeah.
face of very challenging times, they're able to, they still grieve, they still acknowledge the downtimes, but they're able to move past it.
Yeah,
And
work.
we know that passion is a big part of being an entrepreneur, but can you share some ways that you generate income for yourself specifically?
Like I said, man, a lot of times when let me just put it, when I was in England, so it was pretty much easier for me, and the pounds was stronger when and the footballers paid more money. So like I had a lot of fun from the footballers, especially the likes of TOT and all the guys. And when I do fashion shows, I make my money back. When I do, and I also run club events and stuff, that was like I do exclusive birthday stuff. So it wasn't just channel, but then my brand makes money, like the little stuff that are not too expensive that people can, because I make really affordable stuff, like the wallets, the tags, the gold-plated tags and all that, which are going for like 50 quid and stuff. So those were, so yeah. And then while I was still in school, I still get pocket money, so I flipped that through as well. So but yeah, coming back to Nigeria is a different market. So you have to actually understand the market and understand the kind of people that are around. I mean, you meet new people, and you have to know how you're going to work with them, and then you have to know how you're going to actually have means of funds as well. Like, you need to know your clientele now. It's different. There's no more footballers. Okay, you're going to pick the politicians, or you're going to pick the 70% masses who have less income of less than a dollar. much. You know what I mean? So you just have to work out the math and say, okay, you know what, who are my clientele? So that's why since I came back, I've differentiated the brand. I have another brand that's coming up that's really affordable. Mm-hmm. That's like the H&M mm-hmm. price tag. Yeah, coming like the Zara price, and you still have the same value, same mm-hmm. quality. What I'm doing now, I have a factory / partner from Turkey who wants to collaborate with me. So we're trying to do a 50-50 partnership. Mm. So hopefully we see how that goes. Hopefully if I have enough funds, I'll go for a loan.
Wow.
But yeah, we just want to tap into the market that's not existent, but then give the common man the same value you give the super rich. Give them the shopping bag, give them that, you know, extra, you know, give them deals when they're proper holiday season, you know, when they could come in and have their shopping. And yeah, the same, just, you know, treat everyone equally. That's exactly. customer service, which they don't have right now.
I think that's really a great thing that you're working on doing. And we're switching gears a little bit. I think we've definitely touched on one of the lowest points you've had as an entrepreneur with the passing of your close friend and your partner. But can you talk now about one of the most exciting moments you felt as an entrepreneur, where you felt this is where I belong?
Well, the most exciting moment I would have had was having one of my fashion shows in the Palace of the Queen, but it didn't happen because of the rain that day, so we changed venue. Gosh, I was like, I was going to go nuts that day, but it didn't actually happen. Exciting moments where I met Mourinho, I met Jeremy Kyle, I met all the football legends under one room, and they commended all my work. I mean, that was like the greatest. Like, it was like, you know, a kid in a candy store, and they say you have all the, you know, you own the candies. Like, it's your brand now. That was the feeling I had, especially when, you know, I met legends. And these were guys I was watching while I was a kid around with my dad. You know, you watch them on TV and you never thought you would be in the same room actually shaking hands with them, you know, having pictures with them, selfies, or having their direct numbers, you know, which was amazing, you know. So it just makes me appreciate that and saying, you know, like my dad always said, he said, you're a tailor. And I was like, even tailors need presents. So, you know, not everyone stands that chance.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Exciting moments, man, where priceless meeting certain people that I never thought I was going to meet in my life. So, and the Oprah Winfrey thing that blew up as well was exciting. Although I didn't meet her, it was just a TV network. I wish it was herself, but no. It wasn't. So, yeah.
Wow. And I think with that, we're going to enter the rapid fire round. Are you ready?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So what was stopping you from initially taking the step to become an entrepreneur?
What was stopping me? I mean, it was literally family discouragement saying, you know, it has to be a structure whereby, you know, you have to have a job. And, you know, the security of families is like, don't start something and then fall off and then you can't. They were just protecting. But that didn't stop me, though. I just love the act of actually trying to do something and watch it grow. So I wouldn't say there was anything that stopped me, actually.
Okay.
Even when folks actually said I was doing cheap stuff, it never discouraged me. Even if, because I always had to tell myself that, man, I know my stuff is like, I'm like, you know, I look at myself in the mirror, I'm like, damn, this suit is really dope. So I wouldn't let anyone's opinion actually kill the vibe. But I have some people that I actually go out and say, you know, I know they have high taste, and I, you know, speak to them and they give me proper criticism, not just any random person that wants to be relevant. But yeah.
And at what point did you stop looking at your business as a project and more as an actual business?
Man, it was when I saw it on the newspaper. when the football awards, and I was like, whoa. And people were like, Yusuf, you just started. And I'm like, I noticed. Like, yo, you've made it. And I was like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so, and then I just thought, man, this is actually a business. I always looked at it as a business, but I never knew it was going to be like, you know, I was going to have like such names wearing myself. So it was like, okay, I'm in the newspaper, in Newcastle Chronicles. It's like, whoa. Like, everyone gets on Newcastle Chronicles 3 times. I'm like, well, nah. And then, you know, I hopped out of a bus, and then you get school peeps actually taking picture with you. I'm like, wow. Really? Like, yo. And you know, you're not, mm-hmm. do you understand? Mm-hmm. So
that's great. Yeah. And what quality do you have as an entrepreneur that most contributes to your success?
I think a lot of people say it, my smile, maybe. Mm. I think charisma. I'm pretty much, I think I can blend in anywhere. I could actually, like Bruce Lee, man, I'm like the water. I take the shape in any situation I find myself in. I just make use of every condition. Like, anywhere I find myself in, I try to do something with that environment. I just make it work for myself. And then, you know, being natural with people and being truthful to them. People being realistic with them and not trying to fool anyone.
Yeah. And what quality do you wish to improve on most as an entrepreneur?
Family time. Yeah, family time. I lost my girlfriend for that.
Wow.
I think I need to create more time for families and work on my the way I jump into businesses. I need to I mean, I've had one major failed business, but I just need to work a bit. Since then, I just said, you know, I'm not going to just jump on anything. But family time and, you know, just do a little bit of feasibility studies before I jump in.
That's good. Yeah. And what is the best advice you've ever received and who was it from?
The best advice, I think, is my dad. Yeah, my dad said, his granddad says, even if you're watering the leaf, water it so well that it blooms, and people would never resist looking at those leaves. So whatever you do, literally do it so good that when people pass by, they see it and they're like, "Whoa!" Do it with your heart, literally. Do it like it's like, even if you're washing the toilet, just wash it so dope that when people would love to sleep in the toilet when they come back, and then they're like, "It's that guy. It's that guy."
Yeah.
So yeah.
And what is one of your favorite quotes?
One of my favorite quotes. Whoa, let me see. I have a few. One of my favorite quotes is like, be a yardstick of quality. Some people aren't used to an environment where excellence is expected. And then the other one is, ad works for like the character of people. Some people turn up their sleeves, some turn up their noses, and some don't turn up at all. And the third one I'd say is, where much is expected from an individual, he may rise to the level of the events and make the dream come true. So, yeah.
And what's the significance of those to you?
The significance, be a yardstick of quality. Like, quality is priceless. Like, when someone buys something, once you make quality your identity, it will never go out of vogue. And then when you make inferiority, or should I say, mediocrity, your identity, no one wants to associate with you. And then ad work obviously spotlights the character of people. When people always know the people working at the most. Not it depends on the field, not in the literally sense, but like, if you work at it so well, same people will recognize that. So, and then, you know, that means you're actually putting in the work and you're putting your hands in the mud and seeing how growth is.
And what advice would you give to a young Yusuf just starting out?
Like I said, man, learn. Don't always make mistakes. Learn from people who have made the mistakes, if you have one to learn from. If you can reach out to your icons, you can watch them closely, and one day you'll be close to them. Be consistent. Be passionate about what you want to do. Don't just do something because your friend is doing it. Do what you want to do and make it the passion. Do it the way, not the way you really want to do it, but learn how to do it well. And then make it a brand, not a family-owned business where just family and friends, so that other people can associate with it, so it's not tagged as a brand. And then be true to yourself, be realistic, be bold enough to take failure as your hobby, and then you only win once, and that's it, and you've won forever.
I like that. Take failure as a hobby.
Yeah. And, you know, just be passionate, man, and be sincere. Don't try to be smart around people. Don't be smart because you'll be the fool at the end of the day. So, and don't make money clouds your judgments.
Wow. A lot of great advice that I'm taking to heart, and I'm sure the bandits listening will as well. And as a person with a tech background, I'm interested in this answer. What is one internet resource or application that you couldn't live without, excluding Google?
Whoa, social media, man. Social media is king. It's a gift and a curse. You just have to use it well or find someone that can use it for you well. Yeah, it's a gift and a curse. And don't make it too personal.
And what do you, can you expound just one sentence on that? Don't make it too personal.
Don't make it too personal. Don't put your life in there. Might bite you later on. If it's business, let it be business. If it's life that brings you money, okay, let it be that way. But don't put your life out there. It's not the best. I mean, but don't take it personal, and you don't have to reply everyone that says everything, because most people are out there just to piss you off. So
I like that. That's really good advice. And to close out the rapid fire round, do you feel like you've made it yet?
No, not yet, man. I mean, we're both, it hasn't made it yet. It's still working. So I'm just nowhere around those guys. So I just feel I'm still starting. I've made certain level. I graduated from certain level. Like, you know, I've worked out of certain lifestyle. Yeah, I can't be in the same grade anymore. But I made it. No one has really made it. Whoever's made it has to beat Mansa Musa. You know, not even Warren Buffett can do that. Yeah. So I haven't made it yet. I'm still on the working process. I'm still working.
Process. I like that, and I think that was a great rapid fire round. We heard a lot of great parables from you, and also a lot of great advice. And as we cool down, what is one book that you would recommend to the bandits?
One book, Talent is Underrated. The Six Thinking Hearts. I can't recommend one. Let me just give a few. The Six Thinking Hearts, Talent is Underrated. Six Thinking Hearts is by Edward Do Bono. And I think Talent is Underrated. Yeah, those two books are...
Pretty decent. And who are your mentors, and what would you say is the value of mentorship in general?
Mentor Ali Sultani is an American watch designer. He's like a semi-godfather to me. And he's put me in the watch business. I mean, I don't even know this man from anywhere. Like, he supported my work, he supported me, sponsored my first fashion show. I mean, this is a man that sponsored American top model, Oceans 12 and 13, you know, LA Galaxy football team. So it's like, for me, it was like, yo, it's a living legend. The advantage is I look closely at what he does, and I try to do in a way that suits me with my own brand. My dad as well, his simplicity, his style, his approach, his charisma. Example, my mom as well. Her advice, she's creative. She's really creative. She's a little more creative than I am. My siblings, they're just a bunch of dramatic folks. So I just pick. Then my friends, man, they're really stylish guys. So I pick. I look at all the styles and I just pick the same things. Well, the most guy that actually made me not to fear whatever I'm going to go into was Pranuru Tin Udu. He's late now. He used to be my guardian back in high school. Yeah, he was the one that pretty taught me how to, you know, swallow the frog. You just have to go against your fear and make it happen. Like, just do it, man. At the end of the day, man, you'll learn one or two things from it. You win forever. You lose, you learn something. So you're not really losing, because you've learned something, and you're going to perfect that thing and make it better.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to those people listening who are afraid to take the next step that they know they should?
Then my advice is, if you see something that makes you happy, don't go for the sad one. Don't please. At the end of the day, it's between you, yourself, and God, and what you want to achieve. You cannot kill yourself because you want to please others. You just have to make them understand and do it well. Because I noticed why my parents didn't want me to go into fashion was because of security. When they saw that I made more money more than them in a year, they said, you know what, they couldn't question that anymore, because it's like, no job will give you £6,000 in a day. You know, so for them now, it's like, okay, just be smart at what you do. Literally, you just have to be smart. So for me, if you see something you want to do, just do it. And you would, like I said, man, failure is a lesson. It's not, you're not really failing, and you would be shocked by the number of people that fail at what they do, what they been doing and how they succeeded.
Yeah.
You know, so when you succeed, it's forever, it's for life. But when you fail, you learn certain things, and it just gives you an opportunity to succeed.
Yeah.
It's just 10,000 ways to be better.
I agree. And as we say goodbye, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye now. For some of those listeners who have been particularly inspired by your story and by the work that you do, how can they connect with you for mentorship or internship opportunities even?
I'm pretty much on social media. For Twitter and Instagram, I use IamUzayAP. So it's IamUzayAP, all in one word together. And
okay.
So I'm pretty much on social media. You can hit my email, yusuf@abk01@me.com.
Okay. And now, finally, the final question is here. And I'm really looking forward to your answer. So you're tasked with building the greatest business the world has ever seen. You can bring on any two people, living or dead. With you taking the lead, who would you bring on and what would you do?
I'll bring Steve Jobs. I'll bring, that's a tough one, bro. I'll bring Steve Jobs and I'll bring Mansa Musa. Mansa Musa, financial. He's the richest man in the world has ever had. Steve Jobs, creative genius. Myself, design. So there's technology, there's fashion, lifestyle. So it's just going to be one huge unorthodox brand.
I like that. And so that's the dream team. Mansa Musa, Steve Jobs, and Yusuf taking the lead.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, Yusuf, this has been an amazing experience for me, and I'm sure a lot of the bandits have appreciated the opportunity as well.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Stay inspired.